message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today. We trust that our time together in the Word of God will prove a real blessing and help to you as we're going to continue our studies in the book of Romans. The book of Romans is a book of doctrine. Doctrine is teaching about salvation and about what salvation is today in the dispensation of grace. If you've ever wondered what God expects of you and what you can expect from God when it comes to the issues of sin and salvation, well, we've got a message for you today and a study in the Word of God that will clear some of that up. Paul, in his epistles, lays out information that he calls my gospel. And in the book of Romans, he lays the foundation principles, four foundation principles about grace and about what he calls my gospel. It's very important that you understand when Paul talks about my gospel, he's talking about the gospel that Jesus Christ from heaven's glory communicated unto him. And that message is the message of that Jesus Christ has given for us today in the dispensation of the grace of God. That's why it's called the gospel of the grace of God, because it has to do with the dispensation of the grace of God. Romans chapter number 11, verse number 13, Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Now that's a very important thing. You need to understand some things in the Bible about dispensational truth, about the fact that there are different programs that God has in His Word. If you're going to understand the Bible, if you're going to get the prophet out of the Bible that God put into the Word of God for you, if that book's going to be the authority in your life that God intends it to be, then you're going to have to come to it the way God teaches us to come to it. You're going to have to rightly divide it. Make the distinctions in the Word of God that God Himself makes. And one of the distinctions that is easy to see is in the book of Romans. If you'll compare, for example, Romans chapter number 15, verse number 8, with Romans chapter number 15, verse number 16. Look, get your Bible and look at it. Let me encourage you. Where you are, get a Bible and look at the verses. If you'll let the words on the page in your Bible make a difference in your life, it'll liberate you. Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He prayed in John 17, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Truth is not what a church teaches. Truth is not what a preacher says. Truth is not what a commentary or a book says. Truth is what God teaches in His Word. It's what God says in His Word. And if you want to be free and enjoy the freedom and the liberty that God has provided for you in Christ, then the way you'll get that is to take the truth of what God's Word says and store it up in your heart and in your soul and operate on the basis of that. Have the sound doctrine from God's Word be the thing that renews your mind and directs your thinking. But if you want the Bible to be the Word of truth, then you have to rightly divide it. Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't rightly divide the word, it won't be the word of truth. You won't be able to get the truth out of it. And it's very important when you talk about the gospel that you understand this issue about Paul being the apostle of the Gentiles. For example, Romans chapter number 15, verse number 8. Paul says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. The Lord Jesus Christ, during His earthly ministry back here in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when our Lord ministered on the earth, when He walked on the earth and ministered back here, He was a minister of the circumcision. That is, He was a minister of the nation Israel. The uncircumcision were down here, the Gentiles were down here, and they were cut off. God had alienated them. He had built a middle wall of partition between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. And back here in the earthly ministry of Christ, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. That's why in Matthew chapter 10, when He trains His 12 apostles and sends them out with their first great commission, He says to them, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The ministry back here focused on the nation Israel. And Jesus Christ dies on Calvary, and he's resurrected. He ascends into heaven. He sends the Holy Spirit back on the apostles, these men over here whom he trained. He sends them out in the early Acts period to carry on the ministry that he gave them. And there comes a point over here. They go out and they minister to the nation Israel. And then there comes a point over here when the nation Israel rejects Christ, not simply in his incarnation, but also in that resurrection ministry. And God sets the nation Israel aside. Romans chapter number 11, verse number 11. Paul says, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. The way salvation got down here to the Gentiles is God Almighty set the nation Israel aside and raised up another apostle, the Apostle Paul over here. Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles. Back here, nobody's talking to the Gentiles, and here they are. Why? I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Jesus Christ from heaven's glory, he's ascended up here, saves Saul of Tarsus, makes him Paul the apostle, and sends him out over here to minister to the church in the dispensation of grace, to minister to the body of Christ, God's purpose in forming the church, the body of Christ. And this dispensation in here is called the dispensation of grace. It's revealed by Christ through Paul to you and me. The books of Romans through Philemon in your Bible are the books that describe the ministry of what God's doing in here. Romans chapter 15, number 15, Romans 15, verse 15, Paul says, nevertheless, brethren, I've written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, the grace that he gave to Paul, he says, that I should be a minister, I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And here, now, in the dispensation of grace, we who once were far off are made nigh in here, you see. God has made us acceptable in here because God has changed the program. Now, when you come over here to Paul's epistles, Romans to Philemon, you're on an entirely different kind of an economy, an entirely different way of God's dealing than you were previously back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Acts period. And there are some tremendous changes in the program of God. And it is critical for you and me, if we're going to understand what God is doing in his word, to understand that. When we get over here, Paul calls this message over here, he calls it my gospel. Now, why would he call it my gospel? Well, he calls it my gospel because Jesus Christ committed it to his trust, and through him it's made known. And Paul's gospel is said to do three things for you. Number one, you get saved by believing Paul's gospel. You see, that gospel that Jesus Christ committed to the Apostle Paul is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. If you want to be saved today from your sin, and you want to be saved from hell and the wrath of God against your sin, if you want to be saved from the guilt and the load and the weight and the slavery and the bondage and the treachery of your sin, you get saved by believing the gospel committed to Paul. That gospel is how that Jesus Christ died at Calvary for our sins. God took our sin, placed it on his Son there, and punished him and blamed him for what's wrong with you. And Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised again the third day for our justification. That's the gospel that Paul preached. That's the gospel he said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, Christ gave it to him, how that Christ died for our sins and was buried and raised again the third day. That's Paul's gospel. It'll save you. Number two, it'll establish you. Romans chapter 16, verse number 25. Paul says, now to him that's of power to establish you. That is to bring your life into stability. To keep it from being up one day and down the next and down a little further the next and down a little further the next and up a little bit. Keep it from just the roller coaster of life. To give stability in your life. How are you going to get that? Now to him that's of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That is, this ministry in here has to do with a secret purpose and program, the mystery which has been kept secret since the world began, but now is manifest. And that but now is going to be very important when we get over here in Romans chapter 3 in just a minute. This time period back here is called time past. Then God moves from time past into the but now when you come to the ministry that Christ commits to Paul. And this ministry over here is a secret ministry. These people back here didn't know about it, but now it is revealed. And an understanding of that message of grace is what will bring stability into your life. Listen, friends, to have stability in your life, you need to be oriented to the grace of God that is available to you in Jesus Christ. That is, you need to begin to be established in the doctrines of God's Word about that explain to you what God has accomplished for you when Jesus Christ died for you. One other thing, Romans chapter 2, verse number 16. Paul says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. May I say to you that God Almighty not only saves men by Paul's gospel, not only will He establish you by Paul's gospel, but He's going to judge the secrets of men according to Paul's gospel. You don't have to believe this. You don't have to pay any attention to the Word of God. You can take the Bible and just mix it all together like a smorgasbord and do whatever you want to with it. You can ignore it. You can add tradition to it. You can twist it up any way you want to. But one day you're going to face Almighty God. And Almighty God is going to judge you not on the basis of something back yonder or something over there, on the basis of my gospel. You see, it's important that you and I understand what Paul's gospel is, because when we face God, the basis upon which our relationship with Him will be established and the way His justice is going to deal with us is on the basis of the revelation committed to the Apostle Paul. That's important. So we say to you, it's important that we understand it. Now, Paul lays down the foundational principles of what his gospel is about in the book of Romans. And there are four basic principles of grace orientation that he identifies in the book of Romans. The first five chapters are the first foundation principle of grace. The first foundational principle of my gospel is found in Romans chapter 1 through 5. And that principle is simply the issue of justification by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. You'll notice in Romans chapter number 3, Romans 3 verse 10, and we've already studied the first two chapters and part of the third chapter of Romans already. You call them to your mind if you were with us. If you weren't, maybe you'd like to write and get the tape of the studies, and we'd be glad to provide that for you. But Romans 3 verse number 9 summarizes what he's already taught in Romans. He says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. It doesn't do you any good to go back and try to claim to be a part of the nation Israel and God's once favored nation. It doesn't do any good to be just a Gentile. We've before proven both Jew and Gentile are all under sin. You know what that means? The next verse tells you, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. You know what that means? That means you're not righteous. You're a sinner. That's why he says in verse 23, there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that means? That means that there's no difference between you and me, and there's no difference between me and you. My friend, you're not any better than I am. Now that might be a shock to you, but you're not. You're not a whit better than I am. You and I are both sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. You know what the verdict of the Word of God is? You're a sinner and I'm a sinner. That's what the Word of God proves. Now he goes on to tell you in verse 21, but now, here it is, but now the righteousness of God without the law. The way God dealt with men back here was the law principle. The righteousness of God without the law. Not this way, but a new way for God's righteousness to be manifest. The righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, and that's what we need. You need God's righteousness. You don't need your own righteousness. You need a righteousness that will last forever, God's, a righteousness that can't be destroyed and can't be impugned. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. This ministry in here is an every man, everybody ministry. It's different from back there. And this now time revelation of God's righteousness available to all men without the law. Now, it's important to understand that now God's righteousness is available in a new way. In time past, you had to deal with the law to get to the righteousness of God. But now, the righteousness of God is manifest in a new way. It's manifested by the grace of God. Look back with me at Romans chapter 3, and let me remind you about what the law was about in verse number 19. Now we know, Romans 3:19, that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Why? That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Sin entered with Adam. The knowledge of sin entered with Moses and the law. And what the law does for you and for me is that it identifies sin in our life. You see, the law is a work system. It's a performance system. And what the law says, and what the way the law works, is illustrated back here in time past in the nation Israel by the law that God gave Israel. He gave them commandments, and he gave them rules and regulations, and he gave them his law, and he says, do these things and you can live. Do these things and I'll give you the blessing over here. If you don't do them, I'm going to curse you. And if you don't do them, you're going to die. I'm going to destroy you. So the question is under the law is, if you do the things that the law says, then you get the blessing. If you don't do what the law says and you fail, if you fail, you know what you get? You get the curse. Now the problem with working under that system is that, and you know what the problem is immediately, don't you? You always wind up down here, don't you? Come with me to Galatians chapter number 3. You see, the problem with the law is not that the law won't work, because if there had been a law that could give righteousness, then righteousness would have come by the law. The problem is the law can't do it. Why? Because you have the problem. Like the guy said, no doubt the problem's with you. Now, the problem not with the law, that's a good system if you can make it work. The problem is you and I can't do it. Galatians chapter number 4 demonstrates what men use the law for. Galatians chapter number 4, verse number 1, he says, now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. A tutor is somebody that teaches you how to do something. A governor is somebody who holds you back and restrains you. And that's the two things that people use, that religion uses the law for. They say, give me a law and I'll stop sin. Tell me what not to do and I won't do it. Now you know the problem with that. That's the problem of the old wet paint sign. You put a sign on a bench that says wet paint, what's going to happen? Well, you say, well, I'm going to walk by it and say it's wet, not bothered. Yeah, I know you are, but what's somebody else going to do? You know what they're going to do? They're going to come along and they're going to have to feel it and touch it. You know what the law does? People say, give me a law and I'll stop sin. You'll never stop sin by the law. You can't do it. It won't be accomplished. Why? Because the law is weak in that you are a sinner. What the law does, it's like a big spotlight that holds the light up to your face and then holds up a mirror and says, see who you are? You're a sinner. People say, well, give me a law and I'll stop sin. The problem is you don't. People say, give me a law. Tell me what God wants me to do and I'll do it. But you see, whosoever keeps the whole law and violates just one point is guilty of all. Look at Galatians 3:10. You need to let this soak in. You need to let this sink into your mind, because religion is based on that performance system right there. Religion, that's religion right there. Religion is a performance system that is designed for you to perform in order to get the blessings. And the blessings are conditioned upon your performance, you doing. And if you fail, you wind up with a curse. You know what the problem is? You always fail, don't you? You see how that system won't help you any? What it does is it makes you guilty, and it stops your mouth, and it conclusively proves To work under religion and a performance system means to always work under a system where you're failing and you're cursed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, "For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." You got to do everything. You say, "Well, I don't murder, and I don't commit adultery, and I don't lie, and I don't covet." Yeah, but it said everything. All 613 of those other amplification commandments that are given back there. And you know what? You don't do all those things in the Ten Commandments anyway, do you? Why, dollars against donut holes, you couldn't even list the Ten Commandments for me right now, could you? No, probably can't. I've had people tell me for years, say, "I believe I'll keep the commandments." Well, what are they? And you know, 1 out of 100 can list them for you. No, you know the problem? You don't do them. You're a sinner. That's what the law says. The law says what Romans chapter 3, verse 19 says, every mouth is stopped and all the world's made. But that's how the law works. The law says you do it and you live, you don't do and you die, and we don't do. Now that's how the law works. That's the way God's, you know what used to be manifest back there about you? There's God's rightness manifest, His righteousness. Problem is, we couldn't live up to it because we're sinners. Now grace, on the other hand, grace is entirely different. Grace is all that God is free to do for you through the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Grace says God's going to give you a gift. Jesus Christ goes to Calvary and He dies for you, and God manifests His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what you have in grace over here is a gift. You go down to verse number 24, he says, being justified freely by His grace. You know what grace is? Grace is, here, I got a gift I want to give you. Now, if I was going to give you a gift today, and I took a gift out and I said, here, I have a gift, I want to give you this, and you took it, and then you said, okay, now, what can I do to pay you for it? Here, let me give you $5 for it. Let me give you $500 for it. What would that be? That'd be insulting, wouldn't it? If someone gives you a gift, what do you say? Do you say, can I pay for it? No. What do you say? That's right. You say thank you, don't you? Because a gift is something that's freely given. Now, grace is what God is free to do for you. He says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. God takes His Son and delivers Him over to Calvary in order to be sacrificed there to pay for your sins. If God did that, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now look at here. God's righteousness today in the dispensation of grace is being manifest not by giving you a bunch of commandments to keep so you can get the blessing, or if you fail, get the curse. God isn't dealing with you on the basis of your performance up to a set of standards. That's what the law is, and that's why the law fails. Now, there are a lot of lawmen in the world today. Religion is legalism, but legalism destroys grace. And the two cannot and do not coexist. Romans chapter number 11, verse number 6, Paul says, if it's by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. In other words, it's either grace or law, but it can't be both. Because this is a performance system where you perform motivated by fear in order to get the blessing and avoid the curse. This is a free gift system where you just simply receive something that is offered to you freely based upon what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. Now, that issue of the difference between these two things is what Paul is getting at when he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets demonstrate the fact that you need the gift because you can't do it yourself. They witness and tell you that you're in need of a Savior. You are guilty. Your mouth is stopped before God, and there is no excuse for you to give to Him. And you're in need of what Jesus Christ can provide for you. That's what the law tells you. You see, this is witnessed by the law and the prophets. It tells you, it's a schoolmaster to instruct you that of your need over there. But the answer is in what God is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, all of our sins justly dealt with and paid for, and justifier of them that believe in Jesus. You see, you don't have to be guilty anymore. You don't have to be guilty and laden down and in bondage to sin anymore, because God has provided glorious freedom in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for you. And He offers it to you as a gift. He doesn't set up a bunch of religious activities for you to strive to achieve and to maintain in order to get His blessing. He wants to give you everything He has for you in His Son the moment you trust Him. He that spared not His own Son, but freely delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Have you ever personally trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and received the gift of everlasting life that God has for you in Him? If you haven't, you can right now. God wants to see your faith resting in what His Son did for you at Calvary. And the moment you trust Him, it's not what you do, it's what He did for you. Faith is the only thing you can do without doing anything, for it's trusting what someone else did for you. Do that today. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, When Grace Appeared. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 220. That's tape offer number 220. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best. Until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.